Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The Attorney General's Office dismissed charges against state officials and others in court for actions related to the Flint water crisis. There's been a fair amount of confusion about that action and some anger from some Flint residents directed toward Attorney General Dana Nessel. The Attorney General joins us now. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Lester.
What was the reason for dismissing these charges?
Well, firstly, it's important to remember that we have a conflict wall in place in our office. And you have some of the office that is representing the state agencies and state defendants and state actors. And then on the other side, you have the criminal team that's pursuing criminal cases in regard to any criminal violations that may have occurred. And I'm on the civil side. So everything that I say to you today, I've gleaned from reading press releases, reading transcripts that are available to the public, and listening to court hearings. But I will say this. It was clear, obviously, to the criminal team, including my Solicitor General, Fadwa Hamoud, and Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy, who is a Special Assistant Attorney General on the cases, that there was an exorbitant amount of information that they never received. And that's the reason that they executed a number of search warrants on state agencies, including my office, in order to ensure that they had all the materials that were relevant to what happened involving the turnover of the water in the city of Flint and what the consequences were of that. And so my understanding is there are millions and millions of documents that they obtained that were never previously reviewed, and dozens of electronic devices, cell phones and laptops and desktops, so that they need to review all of that in order to ensure that this process is done correctly and that the right people are properly charged and the wrong people aren't.
So what did you find out about this decision? Did the prosecutors inform you, or did you read it in the newspaper, as you mentioned?
The Solicitor General called me about an hour before they filed the motions to dismiss. They gave me a heads up to let me know that they were going to be filing those.
I wanted to ask you about this trial's been going on for a while. Investigations take a long time. Are you going to be bumping up against statute of limitations issues?
Oh, I imagine that the criminal team is going to have to work quickly here. Most of the pertinent types of criminal offenses I think they'd be looking at have a 6-year statute of limitations. So given that the switch to the Flint River occurred in April of 2014, they're going to have to work quickly. So this is not going to be a lengthy, drawn-out process. They're going to have to move as quickly as possible to review all the new materials they've received.
I want to talk about this confusion that some residents have about this action. Bridge Magazine quotes resident Leanne Walters as saying, dropping the charges and saying you're going to pick them back up is doing nothing but creating more distrust in the system, end quote. What do you say to Flint residents who've been waiting years to see justice in the wake of the Flint water crisis?
Well, I assume that the people who want to see justice want to make certain that every single person who is criminally liable is actually charged, and that for people who are charged, including those that the cases were just dismissed against, that those cases are as strong as possible when they do proceed to trial. And so I imagine, given the extent of the documents that this team has now received and is yet to review, that it's likely that those cases will only get stronger. So if you're really looking to hold people accountable that you believe are responsible for criminal actions, you want the best and strongest cases that you can possibly bring to trial. And that's what they're going to get after the review of these documents, I believe. Now, I don't know that for a fact. There could be information that exonerates these individuals. But the fact is, this process has to be fair. It has to be comprehensive. It has to be complete. And the only way to know that that occurs is if all of these items of potential evidence have been reviewed and analyzed.
Dana Nessel is the Attorney General of the State of Michigan. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's turn now to Wayne State University Professor of Law Peter Henning. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you, Lester.
You heard what the Attorney General just explained. You were a federal prosecutor. What do you think of this move?
Well, they want a do-over, and so they're concerned that there is evidence out there. And Attorney General Nessel mentioned that there may be evidence that exonerates some or even all of the defendants. And this is always a concern for prosecutors that there may be something that has to be turned over to the defense. And if they're not aware of it, they still have that obligation. So I think they're very concerned that they haven't seen everything. And if I'm a prosecutor on this case, I have to have seen everything. So they're going to take a pause here. Now, how long of a pause remains to be seen. If she's talking about millions of records, this could take months, maybe even upwards of a year, at which point it's possible you could lose things to the statute of limitations.
The underlying premise is former Attorney General Bill Schuette's investigation was bungled. That's their word, not mine. It was used by somebody in the office. And there were conflicts of interest. What do you think of those accusations?
Well, you know, on the bungling side, you know, in any investigation of this scope, there may well be stones that were not turned over and didn't get looked at. On the conflict of interest issue, you know, this is a problem for every state attorney general's office, that they have both criminal jurisdiction and they have to defend the state. And so this is a common problem, and as the Attorney General Nessel said, they've put a wall in between the criminal and the civil side. But I really think here that there is a real criticism here of Attorney General Schuette and the special counsel Todd Flood, that they didn't conduct the kind of investigation that should have been conducted, and they may have charged too early without having reviewed all the material that they have to.
Let's talk about this dismissal. The prosecutors who are in charge, they dismissed the charges using a term without prejudice. What is dismissing without prejudice exactly mean?
Well, because this was before a trial ever occurred, there's no double jeopardy issue here. So without prejudice means that they can come back into court and refile the charges. They could refile the same charges, or they could narrow their case. And I suspect they will narrow it down at least a little bit. But the idea here is that by dismissing the charges, they are allowing the defendants at this point to be free, but understanding that charges could be filed again in the future. So this is something at the pretrial phase. Prosecutors have the authority to do this, but as Attorney General Nessel pointed out, they've got to be careful with the statute of limitations, because with a five-year statute of limitations, they're going to be bumping up against it fairly soon, and so they're going to have to be careful if they're going to refile charges to do it quickly.
How common is using this tool, this dismissing charges without prejudice?
It's not unknown, but it doesn't happen very often, especially with a case as high profile as this one that you had. For example, some of the charges, the charge against Nick Lyon, had gone through a preliminary examination, and the judge had said, now the case can go forward. So it's rare that you see a case dismissed after having gone through the preliminary examination, but it does happen. And I really think what the Attorney General's office is most concerned about is that there may be evidence out there that they have to turn over to the defendants. Mm. And if they don't, then that can blow up a conviction.
What would you expect the Attorney General's prosecutors to do next?
Well, I think they're going to go back and rethink the charges, especially the involuntary manslaughter charge. They're going to want to take a hard look at that. That's not going to be an easy case to prove in court, showing that what someone failed to do resulted in a death. And so I think they're going to have to take a hard look at all of these defendants and even the people who've cooperated in the case and say, can we build a case that we can win in court? Because the last thing you want to do is charge defendants and then have them acquitted. That sends the message to the people of Flint that we failed.
People want their pound of flesh for the contamination of Flint water. They would undoubtedly want to know how justice is served if no one ends up being charged. What would you tell them if that were the case?
Well, you know, that's a very good point, that, you know, we have now come to expect that the criminal law will be used perhaps first and foremost, and not everything turns out to be a crime. Now, you do have charges here, for example, misconduct in office and failure to fulfill duties. But if we're expecting to see a dramatic criminal case, it's simply not going to happen. These are the charges that were brought were very narrow and for the most part fairly technical. And so I'm not sure whether they will be able to put together a winning case. It's certainly a possibility, but they're going to have to look at it and take a really hard look and say, if we charge, can we win? If you can't win, then you probably shouldn't charge.
You know, there's a lot of concern in Lansing that prosecuting a public official in the duties that they're performing could mean that people in the future are going to say, no, I'm not going to take that job. I mean, I expect that there's going to be some kind of problem sometime during my term or during my work with the government, and I don't want to be sued by everybody who comes along. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting question because it could well have the effect of discouraging people from accepting these high-level positions by saying, look, I just don't want to get dragged into this. You know, with the Flint water crisis, did people anticipate that it was coming? The answer to that, I think, has to be no. They didn't think that there was going to be this issue, but all of a sudden it happened, and now you have any number of defendants who were charged criminally, although they're off the hook for the moment. But, you know, do I want to run that risk for a government salary?
Peter Henning is a former federal prosecutor and currently a professor of law at the Wayne State University Law School. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Lester.
Former Special Prosecutor Todd Flood did not immediately get back to us for comment. Former Attorney General Bill Schuette tweeted yesterday, quote, "We had an experienced, aggressive, and hard-driving team. Everything we did was for the people of Flint," end quote. We'll be back after the break.